B-Pod Studios.
Are you done? Are you done?
No, he could probably go on for a little while.
Penetration of Cox.
See? I love how Bob has a bottle of lotion at the ready for this story, by the way.
That's always there because Bob really loves sports. But here you go. In case you might have missed the story and you've heard the many references that have been made about my freaky cousin, the origin, before I give you the status update here, the origin of the story is that I was at my cousin's wedding, my male cousin's wedding.
Right.
And his best man is also his brother-in-law. So his best friend married his sister, right? And this guy was just ridiculously drunk, gets up to speak. I couldn't believe he was actually speaking because it was after the meal. Usually the speeches come before the meal.
Yes, they do.
So I was like, oh, I guess there's no speeches at this wedding. He gets up, he's hammered. I had just talked to him because he called me over. He's like, oh, Mark, come here, let's talk.
Boy.
And I'm like, oh, well, he's hammered. And
the one advice I get, I've given two speeches at weddings. They're nerve-wracking, and you don't want to be an idiot. You don't want to be that guy. So the advice I always give people before they do it, hope the speeches are early and, you know, get in your comfort zone, but don't get sloshed.
Oh, yeah, don't get,
you'll regret it.
Yeah, have a little liquid courage, but not a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway,
I did one sober and it wasn't fun.
So this guy, he talks to me and I realize he's hammered. And then all of a sudden I hear the clink, 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 clink for the, like, the get your attention. And I look and starts giving a
speech.
He's
the one grabbing the mic.
And what he did was he shared the roster. Which you never do.
No.
He listed every woman that the groom had ever slept with. It was bad. And then he started talking about how, but I'll spare you the conversation about what a freak your sister is in the sack. And like, I have a big family. Like, my mom's one of 12. All right. We all looked at each other. Me and my like 25 first cousins. We all looked at each other like, who's making the first move to kill him? Like, that's like how we look. It was like, okay, we're just going to follow our uncle. The father of the groom, and we're just going to find the father of this guy's wife, and we're just going to, if he moves to kill him, we all got his back, right? So anyway, he shared the roster. He talked about what a freak evidently my little cousin is in the sack. And
how old is she, about?
28, 29.
Uh-huh. She's single? Okay.
No, she's married. Jerk.
Listen,
she's married.
To the story.
She's got twins, and I see a status update on Facebook over the weekend.
Uh-oh. Her status update?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She's pregnant again. Okay. Damn it. Seriously?
Yeah, I just lost the mood now that she's pregnant again.
But how did she get pregnant?
Well, for four months, you're good.
Here's where the scandal comes in. Apparently, Drunky McDrunkerton, yes, my cousin-in-law, if that's even a phrase.
Why did you have to make it Irish?
What do you mean?
Drunky McDrunkerton? Seriously?
I'm sorry.
610-632.
I said Mac. Drunky Mac is Scottish. All right. All right. So you didn't think I know my islands. Anyway. Apparently, and this is in the post, she told him to get a vasectomy. And he said, sure, will do, but didn't. Kid number three on the way.
Oh.
He lied about getting the vasectomy?
I don't know. Okay. Now,
maybe it didn't take.
He said will do. He just didn't do it.
Apparently.
That's not lying.
What?
She made a suggestion.
Yeah,
he said suggestion.
It's like if my wife says, like, grab milk on the way home. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get it. And then I drive by Wawa just forgetting. Like, he just forgot. And Antonio Cromartie had a vasectomy and had another kid.
Yeah.
Because you got to go like 4 months until you can actually, you know, do it.
Is that how long it is?
It's a long time.
I've had a couple friends recently get it done.
Whoa.
It's an amount of stuff or a certain time period.
You have to keep going back and watching some adult videos, if you will, or magazines, whatever you prefer. You have to keep going back until the count is zero. And then
the only veteran of such procedure here, never heard this.
Yeah, I haven't heard that either.
No, once and they said you're good.
I heard 30.
You probably were at zero.
30 times or, you know, 2 months it can take.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because some of the swimmers are slackers. You know, yes. They stay up late. They wake up
fat,
early.
Lazy boys on the side
tread
of the
water.
Yeah. So apparently she was like, you're getting that vasectomy, right? And he's like, oh, yeah.
There's no chance.
I don't know that he said I'm getting it or hey, schedule appointments Tuesday. Like, I don't know if he lied or not.
Yeah, I put this on her. I do. Yeah,
I do too. I do too. She really? How do you not know if your husband had
exactly.
a vasectomy
or not? No, like, that's not a little procedure. Yeah, that's, hey, I'm going in and I'm going to be out of commission for 3 days.
Oh,
she
stop.
Knew?
That's exaggerated.
I know somebody.
Right, on the Daily News Live that night.
I did. I had it done at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was on TV at 5 o'clock
that's
that
Bob
afternoon.
That's because Bob is just such a man.
No, damn straight. I had a buddy. This is good. Before you finish.
Is it good?
I had a buddy. He had two boys. And got a vasectomy, and then his wife was pregnant after that with twins.
Oh,
so he wound up doubling the amount of kids he had.
So obviously she was running around.
Didn't take.
She was running around probably.
Nah.
See, he wasn't at zero, Bob.
He wasn't at zero.
He wasn't at zero, I guess.
I know somebody, now tell me if this is the worst time you could ever hear this phrase. Oh, uh-oh. Doctor's performing the procedure. My friend of mine hears the doctor go, oh, wow, while the vasectomy procedure is happening. Is that the worst time you can hear a doctor go, oh, wow?
I heard a bad one during while I was there also.
Well, this guy had to go back and get it done a second time because apparently the guy messed up.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is getting really weird, but and I probably shouldn't go here, but I had two bad things happen to me when I had this done.
Okay.
One, the guy was a sports fan and recognized me from what I was doing for a living.
Because you're so famous.
No, but he decided it was a great time to talk sports and take his time doing what he's doing.
Oh, that's
while there's a nurse just standing there observing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had to say, yo, dude, can we get moving? The other one was, what do you give to make it not feel? What's it called?
The numbing stuff?
I don't think it's Novocaine, but the numbing stuff didn't take on one side.
Penis cane?
Yeah, penis cane. So I had to go all natural.
Ooh.
When he did one of the sides.
There's
such
a little
a
pain there.
Somebody's got a problem with you guys. Our friend Miss Janet Snakehole.
What's
wrong?
Oh,
no. Come on, Miss Janet.
Her, Bob.
We love her.
You got to heed her advice here.
What do you got?
And this is at you, Pat Egan, as well.
Uh-oh.
No, you guys cannot put this on the woman.
Thank you.
Blaming her for believing her husband?
Damn right.
Really?
No. Yes.
No.
See that? Stop it.
How
See
do
that?
You not know your
How
husband's
you,
having
exactly.
surgery?
What? That's like my wife going in for like, I don't know, breast reduction, and I don't know if she had it or not.
Yeah, there's an issue with the marriage.
Dude, I have no idea why I went there.
No, please tell me more
about it. I mean, it's definitely on him.
He should have done it, but she has to know that he didn't do it.
Yeah, for her to play dumb in this whole situation is ridiculous.
Wait,
yeah.
It's 2020. Hip replacements, you're walking later that night. This isn't 1984 anymore.
Minimally invasive.
Dude, you're not allowed to drive home from the procedure. Like,
he's got friends.
She has to know if he got it or not.
It's on him to get it done.
It is on him to get
and
it
then,
done.
Oh, it's if on, you're yeah. not going to get it done, don't.
Hibbity-dibbity.
Well, no, hibbity-dibbity, but take your precautions.
Don't be a fool. No. Wrap your tool.
Or, you know, other methods.
Was that the term in high school there, Pat?
Well, that's
after you just showed me your chess championship
picture. That's the term at Penn Medicine, okay?
Yeah, hibbity-dibbity.
Champion, exactly.
Yeah, it's on him.
Hibbity-dibbity, penis cane, and what was the other one we had? I think we explained it very well. But no, if you tell her to get the vasectomy, well, I agree that she's got to know whether or not he has
the
procedure.
She should know. Well, he should have gotten it, but at the same time, she can't play dumb about it.
How do I know that she wasn't away on business or something and he said, I got it done?
Like, really?
This is my sweet innocent angel of a little baby cousin.
No, she's a freak.
Freaking.
Yeah.
According to no vasectomy guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you get details about the freakiness by any chance? I know you weren't looking for it, but.
No, scumbag. I did not. Okay.
Well, you should have.
It's my cousin, dude.
You're the one that came on air and talked about your freaky cousin.
I talked about her husband.
You don't think we're going to dive deeper?
She's into vasectomy scenarios. That's what she's into.
Is that a thing? Well, it's probably, there's a thing for everything.
There's a thing for everything.
I guess so. Anyway, that's the update. She's due in December, I believe, now with a
and not a happy about kid. It.
Of course she's happy about it.
Well, she better be because, you know, it hurt. You know, my parents had me when they were 70 years old. Like, it hurt to hear how upset they were when they found out my mom was pregnant again at such an advanced age. So tell your freaky cousin not to say that in front of her child after it's born.
I would.
You're a vasectomy mistake!
Because it leads to a career in radio.
Exactly. The biggest disappointment is that's what it'll lead to, unfortunately. But I will tell you one of the freakiest things about this in a non-sexual way is, okay, so I was really, really close to my grandmother who passed away like now 2.5 years ago. This cousin looks exactly like our grandmother. Like, exactly. Like, when I look at wedding pictures of my grandma, you know, when they were married 74 years, my grandparents, before my grandma passed away. Like, her wedding picture, my grandmother's wedding picture, it looks exactly like this cousin. Like, wow. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah. And then to hear this guy just spitting off at talking about her and the way he talked about her, just blasphemy, if you ask me. Blasphemy.
So do we relate the two, that your grandmother was a freak in the bed?
Okay, now you listen to me, you sick ass.
Is it a family thing? It might be.
So we just got more clarification from ConnectMe22. He said, I'm about to get mine done. The doctor told me 100 days, and then I have to go back to give a sample to make sure it took.
Just one sample.
I think it varies on your penis doctor.
So if you go,
your potency?
Yeah. If you go back after 100 days, give a sample, and there's still sperm in there,
right,
then you have to go back and give a sample. You have to keep going until it's zero.
Toto says you have to wait 4 months. You need to go 2 consecutive tests of no results.
Unless you're Bob Cooney and you get it all out in, you know, pardon the pun, one shot.
Not for nothing.
I'm a man! I've traveled 400 miles to give you my seed, which no longer exists.
I got nothing left to give.
Now hold on a second. We can't condemn DeSean Jackson for just putting out false information and then all of a sudden, oh, this guy tweeted me this, so here you go.
No, I do. There is, yeah. I hadn't heard that the revisits were necessary.
It's on the internet.
Because my friends haven't told me that, but I do know there's a time period where you're still shooting with live bullets. So that would make sense that you want to get rechecked to make sure what happened to your cousin
does not happen.
There's other ways to check.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
My cousin, just make sure your wife is...
What, use a microscope?
What are you, breaking out the science lab? Jeez, Bob, what's going on?
Donna, it worked. You're not pregnant.
Donna, go grab my beaker. I gotta check and see if it took.
Not that beaker.
Please tell me a Bunsen burner doesn't come into play.
The Cooney lab they got in the household.
See where your freaky cousin takes us to, Mark?
We are in dark places. That's where we are, unfortunately. That's where we are. Coming up at 9 o'clock today, we'll talk to Marcus Hayes about all things. DeSean Jackson, all things. But yeah,
what a segue.
Yeah, it's what I'm trying to say. So Joel Embiid, do we believe him? I don't believe him.
I believe he's been working out.
I
think he's trying to downplay the shape thing.
Here's what we've missed.
Because it hasn't worked for him the opposite way.
Here's what we've missed. We've talked a lot about Joel Embiid, who addressed the media yesterday via Zoom call, as the Sixers have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
He addressed the media via Zoom call, and Joel Embiid said basically, yeah, he's in great shape, but when it comes to the NBA bubble, he thinks it's a bad idea. He's not a big fan of this NBA bubble. He thinks it's not good. It sounded like, in listening to him yesterday, I was reminded of, it's not just about being in shape for Joel Embiid. I was reminded about the motivation of Joel Embiid. And this is the perfect situation for him to think about basketball as something that doesn't count. Like, this is like some tournament that the NBA's hold. This is some event more so than it is a championship. And he said some good things about how he wants to win a championship. He wants to play for his city. He hit some of those notes. But in listening to him and watching him, I was like, this doesn't sound like a guy who's extremely motivated to go to Orlando to play basketball and try to win a championship. Sure, he's going to say the right thing, but I wasn't sold. I wasn't buying it. And I was reminded more so of a guy that wanted to talk about how he lacks motivation at some points during the season. And I don't see this tournament. I don't see this, what legitimately is the NBA playoffs. I don't see him looking at it going, oh yeah, this, all the marbles, man. I see it more so as a guy that's putting those bricks, building that wall of already having outs and excuses built in for himself before he even goes to Orlando, Florida. Bob, you watched it yesterday. You paid attention to it. What was your take on it?
Yeah, I kind of look at Joel sideways anymore. I'm waiting for as I've said over and over, I'm waiting for the I to come we, to become we, and I have to do this to become, the team has to do this, and it didn't happen yesterday. And Mark, you weren't impressed with the opening line of, I am not a big fan of the idea, but then again, you know, I'm going to do my job. It was like go get him, Joe. I'm not going to down the guy. If he's nervous about going there, God bless him.
Did you get any confidence?
Confident about going to a bubble?
No, I hear you. And but for him to state, even though we what we call the obvious, that's okay. I mean, like, I do look at him sideways now because I'm really concerned that teammates might be getting sick of the I, me all the time.
He did talk about Ben Simmons glowingly. Like, I'm willing to do things to help Ben, you know, if that means I can get Ben some spacing. But at the same time, that scares me because then that means that's Joel Embiid on the perimeter as opposed to being down low.
Yeah. Like, that stuff is great. And you know, he's good. I don't know what... I shouldn't fault the guy for the way he handles himself in front of the media. I really shouldn't. And I'm trying not to because... That's not what he does for a living. That shouldn't be what he does for it. And he doesn't. He's not comfortable with it. And as both you and I know, so yesterday the Sixers put out a statement who's going to be on the Zoom. And then they sent out a statement saying, Joel's going to be within the next 2 hours. And then it says, Joel will be on in 10 minutes. Jump on.
Yeah, exactly.
Joel Embiid runs that organization.
I had the same thought when I got the follow up email yesterday.
Hate to say it. I love the PR people there. I think they are phenomenal at their jobs. But since Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have come along, they run this organization.
Oh, they're the ones keeping the beat.
Yeah, and the higher-ups don't hold them to any standards. And I wonder if it comes to a point that they even tell Josh Harris and company, I'll get to you when I get to you. And Josh Harris and company says, oh, okay, whatever you want. Because that's what it feels like sometimes. So maybe that's what turns me off to some of the things he says. But going a little bit on what you're saying, Mark, I can't fault him for not having the, here we go, it's great type of attitude. We want him to. And I'm not saying he's not going to play 100% when he's there.
Mm-hmm.
But he mentally right now, he's going in with not the best frame of mind.
Well,
which I'm sure a lot of players aren't.
Didn't we fault him for this at the beginning of the season anyway? Like, at the beginning of the season, we're like, he doesn't look motivated. Is he not in shape? What's the deal? And then later on, he basically admitted to being, not out of shape, but being... not exactly motivated, needed to find those other things to motivate him, whether it's shushing the crowd, whether it's egging the crowd on. He thrives on that type of energy, and he needs to go out of his way to find those little, sparks to his fire. And I get that it's not going to be easy to go into Orlando in the midst of a pandemic and say to yourself, oh, hey, you know what? Let's play some basketball. But when we've talked about this, even away from a pandemic, what version are we going to get of Joel Embiid in Orlando? Away from being in shape and all that stuff that we've talked about at length. What about that motivating factor?
Yeah.
Is that going to be there for Joel Embiid?
I don't know. And I think because we want him to be that best player he can be, it has to be not only physical but mental, right? Mm-hmm. He has to be there 100% mentally. He physically, you know, he says he's in good shape. Brett Brown says he's in the best shape since he's been here. But Joel's got to be there 100% mentally also. And you know, what he talked about yesterday didn't put me in the frame of mind of, oh, he's ready to go.
Right.
Yeah, you know, his motivation is this, and it's a line that I understand, but I also look at it with a little bit of cringiness. I was on the path before the season got shut down. I was on the path to get back to what I was doing last year, which was dominating everybody.
Uh-huh.
I've had teammates throughout my life. I've had players that played for me throughout my life whose main focus is them. It's a huge turnoff to me.
You always say that. You always point out and count the eyes in Joel Embiid's statements.
And the only reason I say it is because I think Joel Embiid would be a better person. Not a better person. I'm sorry. Better player if he turns into the person of we instead of me.
Mm-hmm. But
really do.
Change the vehicle in which the words came out of the mouth. If Michael Jordan says that exact quote, it's amazing.
Because that was best for Michael Jordan. Like, I'm not trying to be a psychologist here, but
we know that's not the best for Joel Embiid?
Because I don't think we've seen the best of Joel Embiid.
Was he dominant last year?
And it's frustratingly so.
He was not dominant, no, but I think after that booing, hushing thing, he changed.
Yeah, so because, what's he going to use his motivation in Orlando? Like, I still...
He needs. Like, I don't care where he gets his motivation from. What he said yesterday is the exact way I would feel. I don't like what we're about to do.
Agree.
But this is my job, and I don't want to let my teammates and my city down.
Right, and I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's 100% truth.
I agree. I agree. I think mentally he needs to get to different places. And I guess my hope was that he was going to come out yesterday and say, I'm going to go down there and we are going to win a championship. We are better cohesive unit than we were when we parted. you know, we can do this. Instead, it went right to the I'm dominating.
Well, I think he knows the team is nothing without him.
Mm. I agree. But did he dominate everybody last year?
No.
Like, so he's lying to himself.
In the playoffs, especially. Against the Raptors, I know he had the gastroenteritis, but still, you can't just look at yourself and, oh, I was so dominant when Paul Gasol spanked you.
Yeah. I mean, you ever have a kid that, constantly talks about himself and kind of, oh, I was great. At some point, somebody has to say, no, you weren't.
Yeah, right.
Like, sorry, no, you're not.
Here's the issue for me. He's the type of guy that needs to have that quarter in the machine to be motivated.
Yeah,
that quarter.
He's trying to speak it into existence.
Right.
So exactly. Here's where I'm going. He's got to self-motivate now because you don't have the fans. You don't have all the other things that do it for you. His words yesterday didn't make me feel confident that he is self-motivated right yet.
Okay, but for me watching him, I feel like Joel Embiid, if you look at it like he's on some sort of level, right? And he started like 50%, 100% is his max, I don't know, motivation.
100% scale.
Exactly. If he's at 100%, then obviously he's at his best. I feel like every season he might come in at like 80%, 90% motivated, right? As the season goes on, he gets up to 100. I feel like going into a tournament, as he might be looking at it, not necessarily the NBA playoffs with some players opting out of it, I think, and a pandemic to worry about,
yeah,
and trusting other players to worry about it, he might be closer to like 10%. Like, does he start out even lower because he's not looking at this as something to say? Like, is it good enough for him to just say, I'm going because I don't want to let my teammates down. As long as I'm there, I'm good. Like, it's not enough to show up.
Yeah.
I don't think he will, though. Like, that once you step on the court, and you've...
I hope so.
Yeah, you know, he's 10 days into the bubble, and he's going, oh, this is... All right, maybe it's a little better than I thought. Once he gets the ball on the hardwood, I mean, the competitor takes over. Like, he's not thinking about the bubble. I wouldn't think. You don't get to that level of professional athlete and get scared off by... Like, when you're on the court, you're on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he'll be just fine.
If it's a guy that constantly looks to the crowd like Ben Simmons does for motivating, like to look for that extra edge, this is where you could be concerned about the 76ers and playing away from home. Now, everyone's away from home and all that, and they struggle. We all know they have their struggles on their road this year. But if you're a team that is looking for the crowd for motivating factors, like, what's he going to do? Is he going to be on social media more than ever? Like, where's he going to get those little quarters to go into the motivating machine?
Yeah.
So we'll continue that conversation when we come back. Also, at the same time, we're going to swing it back into the DeSean Jackson comments from yesterday. Whether or not you've accepted this apology as an Eagles fan, if you're Jewish, if you've accepted this apology, because it still seems more confusing than ever, even after listening to Sean's or reading DeSean's apologies from yesterday. Time of the Fanatic, 7:22.
97.5, The Fanatic.
In case you missed one of the 3 to 4 apologies or attempts at clarifying DeSean Jackson's statements from 2 days ago now, what he said yesterday, there was a lot he said yesterday, including a video that we'll play the audio for you in a little bit. I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out what exactly his point was, because it was more so that he was disappointed that we didn't get his point than it was, hey, sorry I said anything about any other religion kind of thing. That was more of what was conveyed in his message yesterday on Instagram in the video he posted than anything else. You didn't get my point. Sorry about that. It wasn't, oh man, I really, I quoted Hitler. That was bad.
One of your favorite phrases is, what is it exactly that you do here when someone's not getting their job done?
Yes.
Well, I think to DeSean, the question has to be, what exactly is it you're trying to say here?
Mm-hmm.
Because yesterday it led me to believe that he believes he had something to say. He didn't get it across, but more than sorry about what he said, it's, damn, I didn't get it across the way I wanted to.
Yeah, my bad. I didn't convey what I wanted to say. I didn't convey my message properly. I didn't make you understand what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
That's more of what it was yesterday. Now, a couple of the other highlights that I'll just hit real quick, highlights, if you want to call them that, excerpts, I guess, would be that he wanted to apologize on behalf of himself. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was weird. And then he said, I shouldn't have posted anything that Hitler did because Hitler was a bad person. Well, here's the good news, DeSean. You didn't, because it was a fake Hitler quote anyway. However, you still attribute it to Hitler. Not a good move. Never intended to put down any race or religion.
What do you think a college professor would do if Hitler was cited as a source? I guess if it was in the context of World War II, it could be acceptable, but Any other context, it's pretty much...
I'm going to say there'd be a meeting.
Yeah, right? Like, see me after class?
There'd be a note in red at the bottom of it. See me after class because you're scaring me.
Yeah.
I think that would be said. And then he also said that he was trying to uplift my people, which I assume he's meaning the African-Americans in the United States, obviously. I felt like it fell on deaf ears. I was more dumbfounded in watching it and listening to it. And then the fact that the video just ended abruptly, and I'll try to do this right this time, Bob. The video ended with, I hope you guys understand and realize that.
Yeah.
That.
No, you didn't do it incorrectly before.
Dot,
yeah.
Ellipses. Yeah. Huh? There's no ending.
No.
Like, it just ended. Like, the video just cut out as if he went on to say other things and it was cut out. So did he just, like, talk to his phone while his friend held it, or somebody held the phone, and he just kept talking? And they're just like, well, that'll do. Just post that. And it wasn't complete. Because I'm like, how much effort did you put into it? Because it doesn't really appear like there was a lot of effort put into it. And by the way, once again, yeah, Hitler was a bad person. Just in case no one knew that already. I am still surprised by how many people we had to explain. Yeah, don't cite Hitler when you're looking to support your argument. Not a good move. And then he went out and he posted more things. The Eagles posted, called his posts appalling. Said, this is the interesting thing here, that they're still looking into this. Like, it's not an investigation, but they're still having a conversation about what the hell they're going to do. And that could be released to Sean Jackson.
Could be. You know, was there serious discussion, you know, 7 years ago, however many years ago it was, about, you know, dismissing the person that that made those comments? There probably was. They chose not to. I don't know. I don't know how you handle this. And the Eagles came out with a statement. I was anxious for Jeffrey Lurie in particular to come out and speak on it and you know, let us know what his feelings were, because maybe we would get some more insight. But again, condemning DeSean Jackson for what he did yesterday, I have questions. I certainly have questions. Condemning is something that I'm not ready to do, because I think that's where ignorance lies.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear him expand on what the hell was it you were trying to say.
Yeah. What the hell were you thinking? Take me in a non-condescending way. Like, I would really just want to know, like, take me through your thought process here, because there is a message that you wanted to convey to an audience, and you put it out there on social media, attributing it to Adolf Hitler. And it was anti-Jewish is what he put out there. And then somebody called him on it, or multiple people called him on it. Like, dude, what the hell are you doing? You're citing Hitler? What are you nuts? You're saying things about Jewish, but what are you, nuts? In a time for equality for all, you're going this route? And then, so somebody called him on it, most likely. And then instead of deleting the post, he redacted Hitler's name from it, as we were talking about yesterday, took out a bunch of the other quotes in the paragraphs that he put out there that, by the way, had typos on them, and then just kept the one quote on there specifically. Like, no, we still know who said it. This still looks really bad. And then he also put, oh, I got no hate for no one. And he put out the original post, walked away, and thought, ah, I really educated some people there. Ha, I made people think. And then when people called him on it, he went back and said, oh, well, let me clarify and just tell everyone that I don't hate anyone, even though I just cited the most hateful person in the history of humanity. And then he went about his day and then was called on it again and released a video apology yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, and I thought the most damning thing that he said yesterday was one simple line. I really didn't understand what the passage was saying. Okay, well, then why are you getting behind it?
So the Eagles are,
You know, if I don't know who a person is, I'm not quoting them. I am not, you know, adhering to what they're spewing until I know who they are. If I don't understand something, I'm not pushing it forward as something I believe in. What does that even mean? I didn't understand the passage. I didn't understand what it was saying. Yet I put it out there on social media saying that I'm trying to uplift my people and enlighten. You're trying to enlighten on something that you don't even understand?
But he's not trying to put down any religion, even though he put out there they will extort America and their plan for world domination won't work.
If
black people know who they are.
And again, not condemning, trying to understand. Come on, DeSean, you're 33 years old. You put out a passage that you just admitted you didn't understand. But in the same statement, you also say that you're trying to enlighten people.
Like,
how can you enlighten people on something that you don't understand?
I'm not gonna. I'm like, Do you think he knows a lot about Adolf Hitler?
I don't know.
I don't think he does. Like, I think he knows, like, bad person. I know that because he said that in his movie yesterday, his post yesterday. But, like, do you think he could do, like, 30 seconds on who Adolf Hitler was? And, like, what he did?
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, probably not. And I don't condemn him for that. Like,
that's
a pretty big one.
I hear you, but look, maybe he was brought up in a school system that didn't hit on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can only know what you're taught, and
he
you know,
went to Cal Poly, which is,
I hear you on that. And look, it would surprise me if he didn't.
Like the same school as, you know,
it would shock
Chase
me
Utley
if he didn't.
I honestly, I'm out on wherever anyone went to school ever. Like, I just don't, because it, like, I don't know how often they went to class, even. Like, I don't know how much they paid attention. I'm gonna go ahead and assume you know a couple of things about Adolf Hitler. Like, generally speaking,
he
like
had
social studies in grade school.
Yeah, now he had the benefit of having good education around him.
Okay,
if he chose not to listen to it, then
right,
that's something else. But Cal Poly and Cal Berkeley are a good high school and a good university.
Okay, let's do this. So my oldest daughter is about 16 years younger than DeSean Jackson. I'm about 16 years older.
Okay.
I do want to ask her. She probably won't be awake before we're done this show. But I would love to ask her, how much has she learned about Adolf Hitler in school?
Really?
How much do you think?
I would say by 17, I knew a lot about Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. I would think it first comes into the curriculum at sixth grade, seventh grade.
Here's the catch, though. Here's the caveat, though. My grandfather served in World War II. Right?
Yeah, so I had, like, family members, okay, as well.
And I'm not saying that like I'm in
exclusive
club. I'm just saying generationally.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about Adolf Hitler when I was like 7 years old.
Yeah, a lot of people in this country had direct ties to the war.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, me being a different era, I, you know, that was like, I learned to hate the name by the time I was like 6 or 7 years old. You know,
exactly.
You just knew it. But I wonder, and I'm not defending DeSean Jackson at all. It's just a curiosity and trying to get knowledge. I'm going to ask my daughter, who's 17, to find out if she has learned anything about Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if she has.
Oh, dear
God. I don't know if history goes back to World War II or anything like that currently. I don't. I'll find out. And again, not defending. Maybe DeSean Jackson never did learn about Adolf Hitler.
33?
I hear you. I agree with you.
I
would be shocked. But it's a question to be asked.
Wow. I
can't even consider that as a possibility.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to Jenna. You guys, no doubt she's learned about Adolf Hitler.
Definitely.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say absolutely.
I'll put it this way. I hope so.
Let's book her at 9:30.
No,
we'll give her the World War II test.
I did promise my family, when I took this job, I said, look, you guys have to realize everything you do is able to bring up on the air.
You know what's funny?
I said, but I will never bring you on the air.
Thank you. Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I remember being in fifth grade, and I remember my bus driver at the time. He was a World War II vet. And I would talk to this guy every once in a while. Nice man. And I remember him telling me in fifth grade, Adolf Hitler's real name wasn't Adolf Hitler. His real name was like Adolf Schickelbruger or something like that. And I was like, oh, this old nutbag, this guy making up names and stuff. And like, I'm watching the History Channel years later. And I'm a history nerd. Like, I love watching this.
Yeah.
And it turns out like his, like, I think biological father's real name was Schickelbruger. And I was like, that old bus driver fellow was right. You know what I mean? So like, if I'm in fifth grade, I'm at least having a conversation about who the guy is. Like, I would be very disappointed in our school system if it still wasn't taught in today's... Like, World War II was a pretty big deal.
Yes, child of Maria Anna Schickelgruber.
Yeah.
But the father's name was Hitler, so the maiden name was...
Maiden name.
Yes.
Okay, copy that. All right, crazy. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's get... Oh, now, by the way, one of the most important lines from yesterday came from the Philadelphia Eagles themselves in their statement when they said, we are continuing to evaluate the circumstances and we will take appropriate action. So this is still an open-ended thing. Like DeSean Jackson's, the end of his video, it's very open-ended. There's still a lot to be interpreted throughout this. And I will say DeSean Jackson is supposedly going to meet with a rabbi now. He's going to go and learn about the Holocaust Memorial in Center City, Philadelphia. He's going to educate himself. That phrase has come out a lot over the last month and a half. We have to do a better job of educating ourselves and all cultures. Going to... an alleged Hitler comment, never a good idea, but hopefully it'll be a different route now for DeSean Jackson. No pun intended there whatsoever. So it's still an open-ended thing with the Philadelphia Eagles where they are continuing to evaluate. Let's get to Dan in Harleysville. Dan, what's going on?
How you doing, folks?
Hey, man.
So in the grand scheme of life, there was a Sweet 16 of, like, worst people of all time. I mean, Hitler's a one seed
guaranteed
out of, like, the Midwest, right?
Lock up.
Like, he's
got the home crowds.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's, like, a strong one seed coming out of one of those areas. Like,
yeah.
You know, so, like...
Thank you for making it in sports terms where everyone can understand.
So, Riley Cooper, I thought he should have been cut, but I'm going to, I guess, try to explain why I separate this out to maybe being a little bit worse. Like, so Louis Farrakhan, if you know a little bit about him historically, about, like, the theology of that group, it's the difference between Riley Cooper saying a racial slur and coming out and saying, I support the Ku Klux Klan.
Uh-huh.
That's an apples to apples comparison of what you're looking at here. So to me, Riley Cooper should have been cut. So I don't know how you can keep DeSean Jackson around, because if you actually look at what some of this man that he posted actually believes, it's pretty egregious. Forget the fact that when you start a sentence with Hitler says, you should immediately let me stop and really think about my next step here, mm-hmm. because like you should just by default think that. To me, it's almost like if Carson Wentz came out and posted a quote from or posted a something that, like, the head of the Klan said.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like, it's that bad, like, if you actually look at what this group believes. So it's not something minor, and I the Hitler thing is bad, but it's almost the second worst thing about what he did, because he's posting content from the head of a racist organization.
Right. I mean, I thought about that yesterday as well. Like, Hitler's the attention getter. But if he comes out and he says what he says about white Jews and how they know black people are the real children of Israel to keep America secret, sure. The Jews will blackmail America.
That's like
if
he just okay, that's yeah. like his deal.
But if he put that out there, and again, I'm not educated on Louis Farrakhan. I know very little about him. I have heard and read in the recent days some pretty bad stuff, but I don't want to jump into fully what I don't understand.
Yeah. He believes that white people were created by a mad scientist like thousands of years ago and were evil because of that. You can look that up.
I most likely will later in life, but I will just say this: as much as it relates to DeSean Jackson, if he just posted that without Hitler's name and says what he said about Jewish people, like, dude, like,
so
and it's not even out of my respect for any religion. It's out of my respect for who his bosses are, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
And that, like, even without Hitler said, which again is the real attention getter here, and he still posts what he posts, and then tries to clarify it even afterwards with taking Hitler's name out of it and taking the first paragraph out of it.
Totally
he's still saying they will extort America and their plan for world domination.
Yeah, well,
like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, it's bad. And then real quick on Embiid.
Oh, yes, please.
I don't want to hear the word domination come out of his mouth again until I see it. I'm sick of him saying the word domination until I see it.
I'm trying to dominate.
No, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, right then, like, people get on me, oh, you hate Embiid. Yeah, so, I've been on this for a while now, that I want him to be more of the team player with his words and all that. And Dan, I get so much heat from people. Oh, you hate Embiid. That's not the case at all. What I'm trying to say, so do I. I just, don't you think he would be a better overall player if he kind of took that attitude?
Yep, and he could be so much more if he was willing to grow up a little and stop thinking about being dominant and all that stuff and become a basketball player, a basketball player. It would just be so much better. I would love, imagine a guy that could play basketball.
Oh, what are they like? Yeah, what are they like?
You know, like, imagine his attitude on somebody that was like a fully well-rounded basketball player with the right mindset. People would love him. He'd be a legend forever.
No, Dan, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm with you. I can't believe what I'm reading. So Mike sent us a tweet, said, my daughter's going into eighth grade and hasn't been taught anything about Adolf Hitler. Facepalm and shocked face emoji.
Whoa.
All right. Now,
I thought by seventh grade it was a lot.
Hockey Bob says that he was in special ed his whole education and I never learned about Hitler.
What?
Go ahead.
I just texted Kyle,
okay.
who's 21.
Uh-huh.
Kyle, who National Honor Society in high school, carrying a 3.8 in college. Like, Kyle's a smart, smart kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I texted him, and I'm waiting for a response.
did you learn about Hitler growing up through school? And I'm waiting for his response. Like, that's what I'm saying.
100% learned about Hitler in school.
Yeah, what you did.
Kyle did.
You know what I'm doing?
I'm waiting for his response.
Like, grade Jamie, school, I can at least get, but by high school, to not teach students about Hitler is it's an injustice to the students.
I agree. It's not their fault, obviously. It's not the students' fault.
I mean, look, the educational system's out of whack in a lot of ways, but if that's the case, wow.
If he responds, and Jenna responds by saying, I don't know anything, I don't know what you're talking about, who, right? I think I'm just going to live like the Mountain Men on the History Channel, or whatever it is, Bob, what channel is that on, where they just go out and they live in the wilderness?
Yeah, Mountain Men.
Mountain Men, away from society.
Or it could be, one of those Alaskan
whatever it is,
shows.
I'm leaving society. I'm living off, like, fishing, and I'm going to learn to hunt and, like, build a fire. I'm going to become a real man is what's going to happen. I'm just going to leave society if we have failed as a school system that much where we're not learning about World War II.
That's a real problem.
Like, I even learned about, like, Mussolini when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, because I had family that was, like, there when he was in power, mm-hmm. and it was like, we got to get out of here. This guy's nuts. Like, I appreciate that. Like, I've heard about that story since I was a little kid. I've heard about, like, my mom's dad being in World War II and learning about all this stuff, like, from a young age. And granted, it was generational because I was, you know, one generation removed from the generation that fought. So I'm thinking to myself, when I learned it in school, a lot of it was stuff I had already heard. Like, that's how, I guess, I don't want to say real, but that's how aware of the situation my family was. And that's what that's what would come up a lot, especially when talking to my older relatives.
Yeah.
For it not to be talked about in school, though.
I mean, like, I remember having class trips to Holocaust Museum and the museums in D.C. And I would just find it hard to believe. I'm not saying it's not possible because, right. Look, I think the educational system needs a reworking in this country in a big way.
Yeah.
But I would still find it hard to believe, as such a major point in our world's history, that isn't taught.
Yeah, really?
I don't know. I do remember growing up, and I wish I could remember the specifics, but I swear I can still hear my parents saying, they haven't taught you that? And wow. It was about history.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I remember my dad, who was one of the smartest people I've ever come across in my life, just questioning, like, I can't believe that they haven't taught. Now, my kids growing up, what is the history? Does history go back to 9/11? Is history back to what? To the 60s? To the 70s? Do they not go back to World War II? I don't know. And look, I'm not... Don't look at me crooked like I'm a proponent of it.
No, I understand. Yeah.
I just don't know. And it only popped into my head when you said it, Mark. Like, is there a possibility Deshaun Jackson doesn't know? And it just popped in my head. Oh, my God. Now, I've taken my kids to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. You know, we've made sure that we try to teach them about the history.
Something like the Black Wall Street, the Tulsa...
Right.
That was never taught to me once in my schooling all the way through college. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
But World War II is, I don't want to say far more impacting than, you know.
Well, it was global.
Yeah. It was a global event that changed the course of the world.
The first word of it kind of tips you off. World.
Yeah. I can see the Tulsa thing, but World War II?
World War I was referred to as before World War II? Before World War I,
World War? Called? It's like Rocky?
No, World War One. You know what it was commonly referred to before, like years after World War Two?
The Great War?
The Great War is correct.
Congratulations,
Pat Egan, our historian of the program. Let's get to Brian in Middletown. Middletown, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, bud.
Hey, doing, buddy?
You got to thank you for tackling this very challenging issue. So, you know, my grandfather served in World War Two as well. And just like most black GIs who served in World War One, World War Two, they came back to a segregated society.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm quite sure that part is not taught in the history books.
Correct.
As well as the legacy, the impact of slavery, the Jim Crow, all of that is actually probably just maybe just touched on, glossed over in the history books. So I do agree with you that our history education definitely needs to improve.
I will say this, Brian. I remember learning about the Tuskegee Airmen in eighth grade. And I remember that was it.
Right.
Like, and then we got into Vietnam and desegregation of the United States Army and all that stuff. But yeah, like, not enough detail was spent about, or was given about all of that and what happened when those troops returned.
Yeah, and listen, and I'll say, initially, I absolutely condemn what DeSean Jackson posted, but this is emblematic of young people today in terms of the stupidity. And that's the issue even with teaching history. Okay, they'll get the information in school, but you can go right online, as many students do, and you can join these groups, these online groups that bring about all these conspiracy theories. There are Holocaust deniers. There are 9/11 deniers. So this is just a lot of information going back and forth. And by the way, you have the head of this country who plays this game of constantly tweeting nonsense, mm-hmm. you know, trying to divide. And again, that doesn't make an excuse for DeSean doing his thing because right. Trump is on his idiocy. But this is what you have. So now, in terms of how the Eagles are going to handle DeSean, they've really set the precedent, unfortunately. I heard the other caller talk about Riley Cooper, but there was video of him shouting with anger and animus, like he's going to attack someone, and using that hateful term. And the Eagles brought him back. And by the way, Michael Vick and Jason Avant, they came to his defense.
Yes, they did.
But then, ironically enough, they get cut the following season. So Riley Cooper gets an extension.
Right.
So it just doesn't. And then we have this backdrop of Colin Kaepernick taking a knee in peaceful protest, and his career was completely taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I'm not saying you want to go against your principles. If you really feel like, hey, what DeSean, he crossed the line, he deserves to have his career taken from you, that's, you know, Jeffrey Lloyd and Howard Rosen to make that decision. But I just think you need to look at the big view of this, as he did mm-hmm. apologize. Maybe we can use this as a moment of educating people.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and yeah, people need to be educated, Brian, but if I just presented to you the facts without putting a name on it, you would think that person gets cut, right?
Hey, you know what? That is true, and that's the irony, right? I mentioned the idea of what Trump says daily. It's like everyone seems to pay the price, white and black, for making stupid, inane comments.
Exactly, and with no basis in reality. That, I mean, that's the bigger thing. I mean, even in the quote that you're using, the person you're attributing it to never said it. Like, not that it makes it any better.
No.
But it just makes you more uninformed. And that's another issue that we're facing all the time. We come back, talk to Mike and Delran. Coming up at 9 o'clock today, we'll talk to Marcus Hayes. There is an issue going on with coronavirus, which is another understatement. But we'll talk about it specifically when it comes to the Philadelphia Phillies and Major League Baseball. We'll continue this conversation about DeSean Jackson as well when we return here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I know this man has tried to call in once or twice already today. We haven't been able to get to him, and he's a good friend of the program. Mike and Delran, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, Mike?
Man, you believe my people at my work make me do stuff today?
What the hell, man?
Come on.
Tell them to back off, bro.
I know. My coworker's out this week, so I'm like 10% busier. I tried to get you guys earlier. I just wanted to let you and Jamie know, like, about leaving your family for 3 months, leaving your kids for 3 months. Like,
oof.
Yeah, at 1 year old, man, when they're walking and they're laughing and they're happy, it's tough. But the minute they turn two, don't take the risk of sitting in a room full of anthrax for 3 months.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.